Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our producer, Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 21st of August, 2014. Hope you are having a good day. Looking forward to a great weekend. The Buckmaster Show is live. We are here 12:04 to 1 each weekday during the weekend, of course, on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show, so you don't necessarily have to be anywhere near a radio. If you're around a computer, you can put us on at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere in the world by visiting, again, my website, buckmastershow.com. We post the program, or Rose posts the program, usually within about an hour of its conclusion, so folks can listen to the program and see our complete archive of programs since we began doing all of this in January of 2011. We're going to spend the first half hour of the program today with Bishop Gerald Kakanis of the Catholic Diocese of Tucson. Then the second half of the hour, we'll talk education with our blogger beat contributor, David Saphir, will join us. David from the Tucson Weekly. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for your questions or comments. Bishop Kakanis would be happy to entertain those questions at 790-2040, 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of our program by visiting our Facebook page, now more than 3,600 friends on the Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Bishop Gerald Kakanis to the program. Bishop, good to see you.
Same here, Bill. Always good to be with you.
You've been the traveling man. You had a long trip over to Indonesia, and we're in the island of Timor. Yeah.
Well, it was quite a powerful experience. I had an opportunity with Catholic Relief Services to visit a number of the rural areas in Indonesia, as well as in East Timor. And it's amazing to see the poverty and the struggle that people have to survive. And yet, their faith is an important part of their lives. Indonesia, of course, significantly Muslim, but people of great faith, deeply committed to God and to prayer. And East Timor, of course, about 98% Catholic. So it was good to visit some of the churches and meet some of the bishops there and to hear some of the challenges that they face there.
That is has been such a troubled area, Timor, a partitioned island with a violent past. They had elections there recently. Things seem to be calm at this point, huh?
Yes, there was a great deal of anxiety about whether there would be some violence in Indonesia, because this was the first time there were only two candidates vying for office, and it was a rather contentious campaign. But happily, even though there's been some challenge to the results, peace was there, and which in these days is a blessing.
Let's talk about the border. What should our response be, Bishop, to the recent arrival of unattended minors as well as mothers with children, mostly from Central America?
You know, what's been amazing, Bill, is the outpouring of concern in our community. You know, sometimes Arizonans are seen as intolerant or indifferent to immigrants, but I must say our Catholic Community Services, which has been receiving donations, material goods, as well as financial donations, has been just really inspired by the cooperation and interest of people. Many people have volunteered to help out at the Greyhound station, where the women and children have been left ready to try and reunite with some family. The outpouring of concern in our community is really fabulous. You may have seen in the news that there were some people standing in protest against the bus coming to Oracle. But what we found in our parish there and in the community, people who wanted to start a campaign called Have a Heart, that we are a people of heart and that we reach out to people who are in need. And I think that is really what I've seen characteristic of our community these days, when we have seen a number of unaccompanied minors come into this area, as well as in the Texas area, much more so there, and the number of women and children. Now, that has diminished significantly, Bill. As you know, the Nogales site where the unaccompanied minors were kept is now closed. We have two areas, Southwest Key and Sycamore Canyon, where there are some young people who are being kept there. And the number of women and children now at the Greyhound Station who have been housed at Pio Décimo most recently, prior to that in Casa Mariposa, so that they had a place to stay until they could get on the bus, that number is really diminished. We were getting 80 people a day, 80-plus people a day. Now it's 5, 10 people. So even the Border Patrol is not sure exactly whether this is going to grow again or whether this is a sign that things have subsided.
Well, certainly it is an emotionally charged issue, and the ancient question is still appropriate today, and that is, are we our brother's keeper?
As you may know, Bill, I wrote an editorial, an op-ed for the Arizona Star titled, Are We Our Brother's Keeper? And one of the things that I have really been amazed at as I've traveled with Catholic Relief Services and met refugees from Iraq, from Syria, is how countries have opened their arms to welcome these refugees, even at great cost and sacrifice to their own country. Places like Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt have received such large numbers. I mean, we're talking about significant numbers of people who have had to flee war-torn areas. And they are trying to provide housing, they're trying to provide schooling, they're trying to provide assistance. And in a way, this is our country now showing the good side of our community and trying to respond to these unaccompanied minors who are fleeing rather dangerous areas. I know there was an article in the paper that sometimes as we deport these unaccompanied minors to Honduras, their lives are at stake. So while they may not be officially described as refugees, they're certainly fleeing dangerous areas. I have a very dear friend who just came back from El Salvador, and he was telling me that the gang activity is increasing significantly year by year that he's been going down there, and people are at great risk. So the amazing thing is how well our community has responded, how beautifully our community has responded, and I think it's a sign that people do have a heart and that they are concerned for their brother and sister.
And your conclusion of that op-ed piece is that we know it is, I'm quoting from your piece, we know it is our responsibility to be our brother's keeper and to have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to move on to the next question about fear, because there is so much fear, as you know, surrounding this issue of immigration, that our borders are too porous and that we're letting in people, and some call it an invasion of Mexicans and Central Americans. Is the Catholic Church position to call for open borders, or what exactly is the Church's position really on immigration at this point?
Sure. The Church has always held the right of a country to protect its borders. It's not good for a country to not know who's there, and it's important that there be opportunities to address border issues, because there is a great deal of criminal activity along our border here, which is a great concern. The position of the Conference of Bishops has been that if we could pass comprehensive immigration policy reform, and as you know, this has been a real struggle for our Congress, if we could pass that immigration reform, then we could put our enforcement efforts against the true criminal elements along the border. Because right now the Border Patrol doesn't know whether this is an economic migrant or a drug trafficker or who is crossing the border. But if there were legal avenues for people to work, to do the work that needs to be done, then we could put our efforts at trying to address some of the criminal elements, drug trafficking, human trafficking, weapons trafficking, which is a reality.
So the immigration reform just seems to be, every time it comes up in Congress, it's like dead in the water. And that must be very frustrating for you to see that.
Yeah, it's a tragic situation, because politically we're in a paralyzed state right now, and that's just not healthy for a country. There are many issues that need attention. We elect people to address issues courageously, heroically, to get beyond partisan politics to address issues of concern that are affecting our people. And certainly one of the issues that has to be dealt with by our Congress and President is immigration reform. Everybody, including President Bush, spoke eloquently about this is a broken system. We need to address it. And hopefully, in time, the government will find a way to address it.
Is there a kind of a fear, well, getting back to that fear, is there a fear that, kind of a fear of what is sometimes referred to as the other? People are afraid of people that don't necessarily look like them, and they feel threatened.
Yeah, fear is a very powerful emotion, and it's an emotion that you can't just reason to try to address. First, it has to be listened to. You know, people who are objecting to immigration are not evil people. I think there are genuine fears that are present in people's lives. It's a very insecure time. We have many challenges in our own country with a lack of employment and a great deal of poverty. And some people have said, well, we ought to be concerned about our own people and their struggles, their needs. And absolutely we must. But it's not an either-or situation. There is tremendous poverty in our own country, in our own state, in our own community. There's huge educational issues. I understand you're going to talk a little bit about that mm-hmm. later in the show, mm-hmm. and it's a great concern because one of the vehicles out of poverty is education. So there are a lot of concerns, and people's fears have to be heard. They have to be listened to. And to help people to see that this is not something that is going to take away our efforts to try to address issues in our own country, but we're part of a world. We're part of a larger family in the world in which we live. And so problems elsewhere do affect us. I think this has been a struggle for us as Americans with the situation in Iraq, in Syria, in Ukraine. You know, we're a very important country in the world, and so we do have a responsibility, certainly diplomatically, to try to address issues at home, but also abroad.
Bishop Gerald Kakanis of the Diocese of Tucson is with us. The bishop has graciously agreed to stick around for a second segment. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, Bishop Kakanis would be happy to hear from you. But right now we hear from the fine sponsors who make our work possible here on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We have Bishop Gerald Kakanis with us from the Diocese of Tucson, and we're going to go right to the Buckmaster Show live line. Caller Terry is with us. Terry, you are with the Bishop.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you very much, Bill and Bishop Gerald. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Terry. Thank you.
Yes, and I really appreciate it, and I want to say what the Democrats always say, a war on poverty, but look, both parties have been guilty of sin, if I could use that, on promising and not delivering. So what are your five goals other than what you just said is education? And I'll hang up. Five good ones, okay. How to relieve poverty without bringing more people over to create more poverty. Thank
All
you,
right.
sir.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Terry's putting you on the spot here, Bishop.
Let me talk about five societal issues that I have tried to focus on here in our own diocese. The five areas would be poverty. Another is homelessness, which is a huge issue in our community. A third area is the issue of immigration, which is a challenge for us here in our country and in our community. The response to refugees would be another area that needs attention in our community. We have a large number of refugees here. And the fifth area, which I think needs some attention in our community besides poverty and homelessness and immigration and refugees, is the issue of addictions. So many of our people, and young people especially, are struggling with addictions. But specifically about poverty, Terry, I think there's two ways that poverty can be addressed. One is education, and that's why in our diocese we have 25 Catholic schools trying to help especially the poor to get high school degrees and go on, complete high school and go on to college. And our high school's transition to college is quite significant, which we're grateful for. A second area is employment. When people have a meaningful occupation, a meaningful way to contribute their gifts, poverty is something that can be addressed. So a program like Job Path, which is begun by the Pima County Interfaith Council, I was at their anniversary celebration, and to see these individuals, women and men, who are now nursing assistants or working in technology or working in aviation, how proud they are of the fact that they now have a job, they have a regular paycheck, they have a way of taking care of their family, but they had to be educated to do that. So those would be two areas that I think we could make some progress in our own state, but also in our country.
Bishop, so much of the media attention is on the largest school district, TUSD, but your portfolio, as you just said, 25 schools, Catholic schools, in the Diocese of Tucson. I think that might be a surprise to many people, and you've got six high schools. How is the Catholic education going generally in the diocese?
You know, for a long time, Bill, we were on a downward trend in terms of enrollment in our Catholic schools. Last year, we stabilized, so the enrollment remained the same. And this year, I'm proud to say that through efforts at marketing and informing parents about the importance of choosing where they want to send their child to a school, our enrollment is up over 500 students in our schools. And I'm especially proud of our efforts by our principals and school boards to reach out to families in our religious education programs, as well as to non-Catholic parents, to give them an idea of what they will find in a Catholic school and why it would be beneficial to send their child to a Catholic school. And of course, one of the blessings in our state of Arizona is that we have one of the finest programs of parental choice for education anywhere in the country. With the tuition scholarship opportunities, any individual taxpayer can direct up to $1,000 of their tax liability, $2,000 for a couple, and corporations an unlimited amount of their tax liability to support children in private or Catholic schools. And then now with the empowerment scholarship opportunity that the state has provided, where if a child is in a failing public school, a D or an F school, that parent can choose to send their child to a private or Catholic school and receive great support from the state to do that. So parental choice is important. Every child is different. While we're making every effort to provide the best possible Catholic education in our 25 schools, we also want to support our public school districts because they are educating the majority of our children. And as you know, sadly, especially in the Hispanic community, probably 50% of the students do not graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. That's a tragic figure, especially if we're going to help people to succeed in life.
When your calling came for the Diocese of Tucson, you came to a diocese that had financial difficulties. I've only got about 2 minutes to go, but generally, how is the diocese doing the financial picture, and is there a shortage of priests in the diocese, and are you having to double up at some parishes, or is it growing, actually?
You know, Bill, happily we held a capital campaign called Our Faith, Our Hope, Our Future 5 years ago, and it's just coming to a completion now with pledges over 3 to 5 years. And we've been able to raise about $28 million to buy land for new parishes because, unlike the East and the Midwest, we're growing and we need to build churches in especially Pinal County. So we've been able to purchase land. We've been able to help our retired priests. We've been able to improve our Catholic schools and religious education programs. Right now, we're looking at our Cathedral Square, which, as you know, we renovated our cathedral recently. People seem to like it, happily. In fact, I don't think I've had one complaint about it, which is quite amazing. But we're looking at what to do with the remainder of Cathedral Square, which includes Marist College, mm-hmm. The ancient hall, and Our Lady's Chapel. And we're in a feasibility study to look at whether we should build a new pastoral center on the grounds of the cathedral, perhaps restoring or tearing down Marist College and the hall there. So we're talking with now about 100 people donors to see what their thoughts are about this. And I've also written an article in our new vision paper inviting people to let me know what they think about how we could restore this area, which right now is a blight on our city. You know, we're hoping to restore our downtown with a new streetcar and new programs that are developing. And we want to do our part at Cathedral Square because the church has always been a central part of this community.
Bishop Gerald Kakanis, thank you for spending a half an hour with us. Best of luck and thanks, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
Always enjoy it, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Governor Jay Nixon is ordering the Missouri National Guard to begin withdrawing from Ferguson. Since the Guard's arrival Monday, the unrest there has begun to subside. Protests erupted after a white police officer fatally shot an unarmed black teenager in Ferguson. Two American aid workers who were infected with the deadly Ebola virus have been discharged from Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. At a news conference, Dr. Kent Brantley called it a miraculous day, and he thanked his caregivers and the thousands praying for his recovery. He also urged those people to continue to pray for those in West Africa still dealing with the Ebola outbreak. The beheading of freelance journalist James Foley is forcing a debate over whether governments should pay ransom to free hostages. U.S. officials say Islamic State militants demanded more than $132 million. They sent emails to Foley's family in New Hampshire. This is SRN News.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Heel! No, no, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
There's only one Los Changuitos Feos, and there's only one 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Don't miss this celebration of Tucson's own internationally renowned youth mariachi. Mariachi Cobre comes back from Disney World to its Tucson roots for this extraordinary event. Los Changuitos Feos 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, 7 p.m., August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Tickets available at the TCC box office or online through Ticketmaster.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com. David Safir joins us now. David, on our blogger beat, he is our blogger beat contributor, and he is on the blog on Tucson Weekly and also writes a column for The Explorer. David, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Thanks.
It was interesting. We got a little bit into education. I think you heard some of the interview with Bishop Kakanis.
I did. It was a lovely interview.
Thank
He's
you very much.
He's a terrific guy.
But they're doing well. I didn't realize they that the portfolio included, first of all, it's a huge diocese.
Oh, yeah.
Goes all the way up to Payson, over to Yuma, down to Nogales. But that they have 26 schools in the portfolio, six of them high schools.
Well, the Catholic schools have been suffering a bit lately because of the fact that there's been so much competition from the charter schools. You know, people who don't want to be in the districts can go that way. And as he said, and I was listening to him, he got a big boost, and the Catholic schools all over the country have gotten big boosts from the vouchers. He talked about the two voucher programs we have here, and I'm not a fan of those. I understand very much why he is a fan, but I think it's important to know Catholic schools make up a great number of our private schools, but really 70 to 80% of the private schools in the country have a religious orientation, all kinds of religions. And there's a question among the many questions about vouchers. There's a question of whether public funds should be used to pay for religious education, giving them carte blanche to do what they want. Now, I think they should have carte blanche, but should my taxpayer and your taxpayer money go for that? That's a real important question, and one that I have a great deal of trouble with. So does the Arizona Constitution, by the way.
It's a really fundamental question, though.
Yeah, it is. The whole question of what's going on right now with the privatization movement and trying to move us away from what the movement likes to call government schools, it's hugely important. And I there's a post that isn't up yet, or unless it has gone up since I left, that I just put up that's, I called, let me see if I got it right, Schools, Society, and Snake Oil Salesman, where I have a very, very long, I usually don't get this philosophical, but I've written a very, very long post about the privatization movement and the snake oil sales that are involved in doing it and how it can potentially damage our society.
David Safir is here, 790-2040. If there's anything during the half hour that you perhaps do not agree with David about, we would be happy to entertain your question. That's not ruling out folks who also agree with
there are a few of those out there
that David says that would also be welcome. David just handed me some news that really just happened late this morning. Arizona must immediately increase its funding for public schools by about $317 million. This ruling just coming in from a Maricopa County Superior Court judge.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is an old story, and I believe we talked about it last month, about a 2000, you know, the year 2000 initiative voted on by voters who said you have to increase the amount of funding for schools by the cost of inflation. You don't have to make it give them more money, just keep the money constant. And the, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I believe until 2009, the legislature made good on that, and then they stopped doing it. So they were sued, saying that you violated the mandate that was given to you, you violated the rule of law. And the judge said, yes, indeed, you did. And you owe the schools right now $317 million. And over the next 5 years, you owe them $1.6 billion. Well, the Democrats all said, yes, fine. And to be honest, the people who are running for superintendent of public instruction, including John Hoopenthal, said, yes, fine, they should do it. But the Republican legislators said, over our dead bodies, we're not going to do it. You can't make us. And so they went back to court to
fight this.
To fight it, yeah. And the judge said, that's fine. You can continue fighting the $1.6 billion. The fight's supposed to come up in October. But meanwhile, put up the $317 million you owe right now. And I think she's absolutely right. And I think that the Republican legislators who are saying this, and Governor Brewer, who's saying that as well, that they don't have to pay it, should be ashamed of themselves. They should consider themselves people who are deadbeat parents. After all, these kids in school right now will never be in the third grade again. Mm. The money that's being denied to them is being denied to them forever for their third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade year, whatever it is. You can't get that money, you can't get that education, you can't get those supplies back.
Yeah, because if you're going to do one of these voter approved ballot measures and then you have the legislature change it, why do the ballot measure in the first place?
That's it. And if anybody looks back and sees the sentence that the legislators say, well, this could be interpreted to only mean transportation, it could be interpreted that way, I guess, if you don't speak English as your first language. But as an old English teacher reading that, there's just no wiggle room in there. They're simply trying to violate the spirit and the letter of the law. And, of course, these are people who love to talk about the rule of law, but I guess they're less happy about the rule of law when they don't like the rule. They like to enforce it on other people. It's scandalous what they're doing, and they really should be. I don't know how they can do it with a straight face without feeling shame.
And the governor, when this story broke earlier in the summer about that this money may be coming due, she said that this would bankrupt the states.
Yeah, and it very likely will hurt the budget. But then mm-hmm. the question is, did the Republicans balance the budget honestly, or did they balance it on the back of the children's and back on the back of our highways and on the back of any number of other funds that they swept up? There are all kinds of sweeps to happen. Well, if you balance it that way, if you say I'm making my bills and my kids aren't getting as much food on the table, if you're a parent, well, there's a problem there.
All right. 790-2040, 790-2040. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Levi is with us. Go ahead, Levi.
Okay. As an arch-conservative, Judeo-Christian, non-rhino, non-moderate, non-leftist, quickly, why should we pay for La Raza MS-13, closet Islamists are sneaking across, illegal immigration, put them in education, give them access to benefits, amnesty. We can't do that. That goes to prior and it goes to this education debate. Similarly, here with public education, why should I have teachings of La Raza studies, gay studies, but I can't have Judeo-Christian standard conservative free enterprise moral studies?
Okay. All right, Levi.
I don't pacify.
Okay.
Understand the blend.
All right.
My answer is that a question like that is almost unanswerable. We're coming from such completely different points of view. The things that you're talking about are things that are part of the changing fabric of our society. You're overemphasizing, I believe, the inherent dangers. You're creating this hair on fire analysis of the world, including the idea that the Judeo-Christian ethics are being trashed in this country. And there's no way for me to address that reasonably, so I'm not going to try.
790-2040. If there is anything that you are hearing that you disagree with David Safir about, please call us. Levi obviously, I think, takes issue with some of the things you're saying.
Yeah, very deeply, and I understand that. But sometimes when the divide is so great that unless you have a couple hours to sit down and talk and lay out your own ideas and your parameters, you just can't come up with a quick answer to something like what he said.
Well, we certainly like to welcome all opinions, as you know, David,
here on
the program. And that makes it fun for us to have different points of view, and that's what this program is all about, having all sides of the story told. People say there's no positive news coming out of TUSD. You actually, in your latest blog, said, come on, TUSD seems to be making an effort to get the positive news out.
I think so, and I think they're succeeding, and I think they're actually creating positive news. The thing that spurred me on to write this post was the fact that this Star, which would rather say negative things about Tucson Unified Schools and positive things, I find, had a beautiful front page story about an outreach program that TUSD has created with 240 high school students from Pueblo and Tucson High who are going out into the biotech community. It's called the Biotech Pipeline, not to work there so much, but to interview them, to learn about them, to know more about it, more about what it would take for them to be part of that system if they want to bring their information back to their fellow students. It seems like an absolutely wonderful program. There's nothing better for kids, especially kids who don't come from families that normally have lots of highly educated professionals in their family to go out in that world, dress nice, talk to these people and get over their fear and their feeling of inferiority and say, these people understand me, I understand them, I can be part of this world. That's hugely important as education.
Rose, can we work one call in here before the break? Let's go back to the live line. Another disagreement with David. This is from Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. This is very interesting. This fellow doesn't seem to realize that, that a lot of my people are having to cut their pay and cut their hours, and this bankruptcy thing is starting to worry me. What is this state going to look like if it's bankrupt like Detroit?
This is another question that I can't answer because I don't think this state is going bankrupt like Detroit, and I don't see that the business community is not doing great here, but it's steadily improving. I think it's improving at a slower rate than in other states. But one of the things that's necessary for improvement of this state is to have a highly educated workforce, and in here in Tucson, to hold on to some of these great UA graduates to stay in the city and build the city up. So we need to build up infrastructure. We need to build up education. We need all those things, not to... By starving the beast, you're not going to make this a better state. You have to encourage it. You have to grow the state.
All right, back to the live line. Another caller, Matt, is with us with David Safir. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, quickly, David, I was going to say that I disagree with you with regards to I agree with the judge's decision in spirit, but I am very concerned that trying to implement it this way we'll put the I agree they did everything wrong, the state legislature was wrong, but to enforce it in such a way that does drive us into, I mean, literally shutting down roads, shutting down parks. I mean, that's literally what we're talking about. They're not kidding. $300 million will put us in that. I would say they need to negotiate all parties, maybe say $20 million immediately or something reasonable that they can work with.
Okay.
And put on the table.
Well, I want to put this in context. We're negotiating over money that's owed to our children. We're not negotiating over even over roads and potholes. We're negotiating over our children and what they need and what they deserve and what we people as the parents, the guardians of all of the children in the state, and I hope that people view themselves that way, what we owe them. When we take it away from them and say, I'm sorry, we can't give them the money, well, we're going to have to make the hard choices. And if the hard choices mean that something has to be cut now and they say, well, we need to generate more revenue, let's be honest about this. And I'm going to use this term again because it's so important, I think, and so such a graphic term. We cannot balance the budget on the backs of our children. It's cruel and it's foolish and it is foolhardy. I had a fellow teacher who used to talk about eating your seed corn. If we balance a budget on the backs of our children, we are eating our seed corn, what we are planting, what we need to plant for next season. You have to guard that, you have to keep it well, and you have to nurture it when you put it in the ground.
All right, we're past time for the break. We're going to take the break, but when we come back from the break, again, we'll go back to the live line if you would like, 790-2040, for our listeners to respond to David Safir talking about education. Back after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many Buckmaster Show listeners over to Silver City, and they ask me for advice. Where should I stay? What should I do? Well, the best place to start with all that is southwestnewmexico.org, which has the full listing of places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins, and there's so much to do. You can find out by going to the website. They've got the first upcoming event will be Saturday, September 6th, Taste of Downtown, and that's going to be sampling all of the historic downtown Silver City's fine eateries, and they've got some really good ones. Silver City, a nice mention in the current, the magazine that just came out, September edition of Sunset magazine. So that's good for the folks in Silver City, only 3 hours east of Tucson. Back to our conversation with David Sefier. He is our blogger beat contributor. He writes for the Tucson Weekly. He blogs, and people like to disagree with David when he's on the show, and it always makes it fun. So, David, let's go back to the live line.
Absolutely. We have Wayne here.
Wayne is ready for us. Go ahead, Wayne. You're with David.
Hi, David. You're criticizing some of the, and understandably criticizable callers with their inflated rhetoric, but you're also using some pretty ridiculous rhetoric by saying it's balancing the books on the backs of the children. Well, there are a lot of people that benefit from increased funds to the school districts, the administrators in particular, and all the other people that are working there. Every year, my TOSD taxes go up, and I just wanted to know, when is it enough? And the children are not the only beneficiaries of this money.
Okay.
In Arizona, we have the smallest percentage of administrators as a part of the educational staff of any country in the nation. The smallest percentage. The idea that we have too many administrators just as a line of thought simply doesn't make sense. I was a teacher for 30 plus years. Teachers are poor but honest. We're not mercenary people. We're not looking for a lot of money. But when I hear today that teachers are on food stamps, I think, how are you going to attract the best and the brightest into education to give the best possible start for our children if you give them wages that are so low they're going to go on food stamps? The people who have other opportunities are going to leave. Why should they stick around, especially if you're going to overload the classroom with too many kids and you're going to give them old textbooks with pages torn out of them and computers that are from the Mac Classic era? I mean, how can you possibly keep good staff if you're going to treat them like that? These are people who have bachelor's and teaching certificates and often master's degrees, and you're paying them a pittance. It's absurd to think that you can do it on a shoestring. And I'm going to say, Wayne, honestly, that I don't think it's hyperbole. I don't think it's exaggeration to say that we are balancing the budget on the back of the children. I'll say it over and over again. It's a wonderful phrase, and it simply happens to be true. When the rule of law says you have to put in this much money, when we're already somewhere between 47th and 50th in the amount we spend per student in the nation, yes, we are balancing the budget on the backs of our children, and we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Ready for another one, David?
Absolutely.
Danny is up next with us on the live line. Danny, you're with David.
Yes, I'd like to know the comparative cost that the state gives to a charter school per student compared to the public school. In other words, what's it cost the public school, San Diego, Tucson, public school versus a typical charter school?
I wish there were a simple answer to that, and I think it's a very good question. I've tried to get answers from people all the way up the line to the state level, and basically it's such a complex formulation you can't pin it down. The answer is that some charter schools get more per student total than school districts. Some school districts get more per student than charter schools, and it has to do often with the number of students who are ELL students or educationally developmentally delayed students and all kinds of other formulae that go in there. But the bottom line is that there's not a large or significant difference between the amount of funding per student that goes to charter schools and to district schools. But it's a very complex formula, and it baffles me whenever I try to break it down any further than
that. Let's try to work in one more call before the show ends. Christine wants to talk to David Saphir of The Weekly. Go ahead, Christine.
Hi, David. First of all, your very complex formula also is applicable to being the 48th state. That's a very complex formula, and other states use property tax as another way to funding. So it's interesting how you use that when it benefits you and not when it doesn't. But also, my main point was TUSD only gets 48 cents per dollar into that classroom when surrounding districts get over 60 cents per dollar, and why can't TUSD fix that problem and get more money in the classroom?
I think you're exaggerating the disparity there, and I don't know exactly what it is, to be honest. It may be the TUSD puts a little bit less in the classroom, though to define the classroom, you have to know, and again, I'm not trying to be cute and clever here. You have to define the people, if the aides and the administrators are involved. One reason, possibly, that TUSD might have less in the classroom, and I'm not an expert on this, is that we have a DSEG program, desegregation program, and there is a need for administrators for that program. This is a federally mandated program.
It's been around since 1977. That program has been around a long time.
It has, and that might be a problem, but it is a concern, and there are all kinds of issues around why money is in the classroom and why it isn't. I don't believe that TUSD is wasteful in terms of money. Everybody can spend money more efficiently. I don't think they're overly wasteful. I haven't seen that indication.
TucsonWeekly.com to read your blog about TUSD. But David, we're out of time.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, I know. It was very quick. And want to thank everybody that called. I know you enjoy that.
I do very much. I enjoy the calls.
Bottled water on. Thank you, David, very much.
Thank you.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thanks, Culligan. All the guests here get that nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Wake up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe. Then the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone with his show, 8 to 9. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our local talk shows during the week. And then it's time for producer Rosemary Brandt and me, Bill Buckmaster, to be back with you 12:04 for the Friday Focus interview tomorrow with Mayor Rothschild. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.